every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eye. Empty people filled with fear, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. Called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What would be too great a cause for sharing Christ with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can fill all the grief they must give the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open. Give our lives for people need the Lord.
Thank you for that. Let's take our Bibles. Please turn to the book of Luke. I know we're a little bit later today. I will talk a little bit faster. We will get out about the same time we always do. If you will listen fast, I will talk fast. Luke chapter 10, standing if you are able. Luke chapter 10, we'll start in verse 25, a very familiar passage of scripture here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. By the way, if you're new, we're not working after church. I don't know if you know that. This is Construction Sunday. We're just dressing up in construction clothes. Some people are just wearing their clothes that were issued to them by maybe a government organization when they were asked to voluntarily do some work cleaning up on the side of the freeway. I got to tell this story, hon. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but when we were first married, my wife, she had Jessica in the car seat, and Jessica somehow got her hands out, and my wife got pulled over. She didn't know Jessica had escaped the car seat, and they gave her a ticket for her child not being in the car seat. So she goes, I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to fight this, you know. And she goes there, and she tells him, you know, like, look, I just, she snuck out. I don't know how she did it. And the judge was in a bad mood, right? And he's like, no, $250 fine. That was like in the late 80s, and we didn't have $250. So my wife started crying, you know, like, the bailiff came over and said, what's wrong? She's like, I ain't got $250. So the bailiff went and talk to the judge, and my wife got to work on Caltrans. Bunch of, oh, I forgot to mention, she was like 7 months pregnant with Allison. And so here she is working with all these people that maybe had records they liked to maybe not listen to, but they had. So she did that for a week, but it saved us a lot of money. So my wife doesn't wear that shirt. It brings back bad memories. But for me, it's good memories. We save money. But that's the only time that that happened. Okay, what were we talking about? God. So anyhow, we're just, today all day is Construction Sunday. That's why we're dressed up like this. Luke chapter 10, 25. Let's get to the Bible here. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? By the way, that's a bad question. You can't do anything to inherit eternal life. He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, Jesus is not talking here about work salvation. He's answering the man according to the way the man asked him. And also, because the man was not interested in eternal life, the man was trying to catch Jesus saying something he might use against him. So that's why Jesus is answering. This guy was not interested in eternal life. And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering him said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and stood by on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. Which now of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Let's pray. Father, bless us in these few minutes we have. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to understand what you would want us to do in regards to helping other people, to truly care, to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're in our series on What Did Jesus Say? Today in this story, we're going to see that Jesus is really asking us, who do we care about? He's going to ask us, do we really care about other people? This man in the story was a lawyer. Now, when we think of a lawyer, we think of someone who, you know, lawyers don't have a good reputation, but tries to get around the law or try to help their client get through the law. That's not the kind of lawyer we're talking about here. Lawyer is someone that was supposed to know the Old Testament law and supposed to be an expert in it. But he had a misconception about eternal life and eternity. This is something that Jesus wanted to help him with. He didn't believe in Christ, and he wasn't looking to be saved. He was just trying to trip Christ up, as many of the religious people were. But Jesus shares with him an important story based on his answer. He asked him, what's the greatest command? And he got that right. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is like, go do that. And he's trying to justify himself. He says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives this story. The fact that this man tried to justify himself and was self-righteous shows that he did not want to hear about others. He saw his position more as his religion, more as his position, and people were not as important as, you know, that what you can force them to do or what they are supposed to do or what you think they should do. But the two commands he gave were right. In explaining these two commands, Matthew, in another portion of scripture where it's mentioned, Jesus said, on these two commands hang all the law and prophet. In other words, he says, really, you can take everything the Bible says and you can kind of boil it down into two categories, loving God and loving others. The whole Bible is filled with that, and the two go tightly together. What am I trying to say? You know, if there's a place where people ought to be cared about and treated right, it ought to be church. Every church thinks they're friendly. Now, I'm going to say, I say that, then I say, I think we have a friendly church. I've had enough people that visit say, yes, your church is friendly. But every church thinks they're friendly. There's a guy, I was reading a book, and a guy was talking about friendliness, and he said that this guy was a consultant. What he would do is churches would have him come in, and he would come in as almost like a secret shopper, and he would go to their church, and then afterwards he would give you a critique on whether or not your church was friendly. And so this pastor said, listen, our deacons, I think, was, they want us you to come in here and check our church out, but I already know we have a friendly church, but why don't you come and check us out anyhow? The guy goes, okay. So the guy comes to church, gets there early, gets into the service, sits there, and this guy purposely put himself in spots where everybody would walk by coming in and out of church. And at the end of the service, he purposely put him in the main spot where everybody would have to walk by to get out. After he was there all day and he was there at the end of the service, the pastor finally walks by and shakes his hand. The pastor's the only one that knew who he was and says, hey, thank you for being here. I hope you saw that we were friendly. And boy, I sure hope I'm not the only one that shook your hand. And the consultant looked at him and said, you are. Now, our church isn't like that. I think we go out of our way to be friendly. But if there's a people that ought to care about others, if there's a church, a place where people ought to be cared for, shouldn't it be church? Shouldn't it be God's people? From this story, we find a couple reminders about our part in helping those or being a blessing to those that we come into contact with. We see it right here in this story. Let me give you, I believe there's four of them this morning. First of all, we must see people as our personal responsibility. You see, when Jesus said, well, what's the greatest command in the Bible? This guy nailed it. Spot on. He was right. But then he comes back because he was trying to justify himself. He didn't want to actually do what he had just quoted to Jesus that he says was the greatest command in the Bible. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. You see, being kind to people is everybody's business. All of us are supposed to care about other people. If we're not careful, we tend to see people as irritations. We tend to see people sometimes as just pit stops or taking time away from what we need to do. But God uses people to help people. When someone prays for help from God, sometimes God does miraculous things, but more often than not, God answers that prayer by sending someone their way. It's our responsibility, all of our responsibility. When we talk about one by one, and John talked about how it's our responsibility. If someone's going to come to the Lord, someone has to invite them. That takes people. Everybody's responsibility. There are no exceptions. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Wow, think about that. Do you notice our responsibility to let people who don't know the Lord know about the Lord? He says we're supposed to be ready to give that answer. By the way, he tells us how to give it with meekness and fear. You know, sometimes people are rude. Sometimes I've been rude. I can't think of a particular time right now, but I'm sure if you ask my wife, she'd have a list. You know, sometimes the world does not react to what we believe. Sometimes the world reacts to how we believe it. Okay, we're talking to somebody about, we're not there to argue with, we're not there to put them down. We're there to share the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But it's our responsibility. We can't get out of it. When he told us in Matthew we're supposed to go to the whole world, it wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't like one of those things like, you know what, this is a good idea. It was an ultimatum. It was an obligation. And so we need to understand. Let's see people as our responsibility. Number two, we must sense people and their problems and needs. People have problems. Some of you have problems. Some of us have or have had problems. Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, leaving him half dead. This man was just traveling. He wasn't doing anything wrong. And thieves robbed him and they beat him and they ripped his clothes. They took what he had and they left him for dead. He had problems. You see, now by the way, let me say this. When it comes to helping people, all of us are concerned sometimes because sometimes people like to use other people. I always kid that sometimes people think the church is spelled ATM. They think we're just the place to come when you need money or you need this or you need that. They don't want God. They're just trying to use others. And I'm not saying that. By the way, when someone comes and they're just trying to use you, you're not helping them by helping them. See, people come with problems sometimes, and they don't want, when you have a problem, what you want to do is get to the root of the problem and get that fixed. That way you don't have any more problems. If you have a tree and the fruit is bad, that means the health of the tree is wrong. If you fix the health of the tree, the fruit will be better. People, I have this problem. I want you to help me alleviate my problem. Okay, where do you start? You start at the root. Because if you just fix the little situation that's a result of the root, that situation goes away and a new one pops up in its place because the root's not been taken care of. But let's not use someone we know that's come and lied or used me or didn't take the help, not to help someone that legitimately has a need. People have problems, and that's just a fact of life. Tell me, who's going to give them a better perspective on their problem? Who's going to help them to dig to the root of it? Than Christians. It takes God to root that thing out. And yet those of us who say we know Christ and those of us who say that God's helped us and we know the answer is Jesus, but yet we're not going out and answering anybody's question. Do we sense people and their problems and their needs? Marriages are horrific today. Over 50% of them end in divorce. And of the 40 whatever percent that are left, 80 or 90% of those aren't real happy. It's a mess. People have a problem when it comes to their salvation. They don't know what. As Brother Tony mentioned, as he was searching, he didn't know. He was searching for something. He couldn't find the answer until somebody with the truth knocked on his door. Problems in our families today. Work situations, maybe it's an illness or just some burden that comes our way. You know, a simple act of kindness can just get someone and help them get on the right path and go the right way. You know, we all come into church and one of the things, by the way, it'll be nice when we have the new auditorium. And by the way, when we get in the new building, all those classes over there will be air conditioned. I thought I'd just throw that in for you. Okay, they all will be air conditioned. Amen, Brother Pichardo? Okay, good. They'll all be and we'll all be able to be out. But all we you come in and we're crowded and we kind of walk by each other. You're trying to get out of the hallway and the hallway is only big enough for like four people and we have 50 in there. And it's kind of but you realize that people that walk you by and you just see them and they walk and they look nice. You know, there's problems there and we don't know it. And maybe all it'll take is someone just saying a good word to get them on the right track. I remember when I first went to church, and I went. I was a punky teenager, just out of high school, and I came into church, and I didn't look like everybody else, you know, and I didn't act like everybody else. And I came in there, and I kind of felt out of place. I didn't really know anybody. And as I'm walking in for that morning service, here came a guy walking down that I recognized, Steve Perkins. Steve Perkins, back the short time I did go to high school, I did meet him in high school. We weren't friends or anything. I just met him, and I knew who he was because he had a great first name, Steve. That was easy to remember. And he saw me in church. I hadn't seen him in probably 2 years, a year and a half. And he came down, and I didn't look like a church person. I was totally uncomfortable with being there. Like, what a nerd hangout. And here comes Steve, and he shook my hand and just started, man, he goes, I'm so glad you're here. And he just made me feel comfortable. That made an impression on me. You know what? I felt welcomed after that. I didn't feel out of place. That's all it takes sometimes. We don't know what the burdens are bubbling down beneath that. But I know if we're kind and friendly to people, that starts them on the road to trust and maybe to recovery. What a shame it is for someone to come to church, a place that could help solve problems and meet needs, and have them walk out and never come back because no one took the time to make them feel welcomed. Now, they may come back because maybe they just don't want to hear about Jesus. Maybe they're not into what's going on here. They don't want to hear the Bible. But they should never not come back because they say, I don't like those people there. They weren't very friendly. Let's make sure we're friendly. What a shame for someone with problems, somebody without God, to come into contact with a Christian and walk away from that Christian without them trying to be a help or an encouragement to them. By the way, there's people we should be kind to everywhere, not just in church. They're where you work. They're where you are when you meet. And you got to be very careful because we get upset about things. And we want to be really, really rude. I deposit our checks and things on Saturday. I have to do it. I do it on Saturdays, the only time I can do our finances. And I have to do it at ATM. And three times in the last 9 months, the ATM ate the checks and didn't give us credit for the deposit. And I thought the first two times were a mistake. It happened yesterday when I was standing outside in 100-degree weather. And I was not happy, Cody. I was not happy at all. And then you got to call them, and it's a 30-minute call. And then you got to tell them exactly what you did, and it takes them a month to give you your money. So I thought, this is it. I'm not happy. Like, God pity the poor person that answers this phone. I'm standing outside in the sun. It's 102 degrees. They just ate all my checks. And I started off in a really bad way. But then I caught myself, and I was just kind of like, all right, let's just kind of be nice here. It's not this guy's fault. So when I was done, I went and I cussed at the ATM machine. I felt much better. Just kidding. But I'm like, I was nicer. I'm like, I got to keep it together. He might know I'm a Christian. I don't know if it says anything in my bank account. Like, hey, you know, this guy's bad. I got to be very careful here. I don't want him to go to hell because the ATM machine ate my checks. Now I want the ATM machine to go to hell tomorrow. Okay, that wasn't very good. But sometimes I'm going to get my rights and I'm going to let everybody know how I feel. Okay? Maybe we'll give that person, and then you know, we're going to argue with the waiter at the table, but then we're going to leave him a track with no tip. By the way, if you leave him a track, leave him a Mormon track, all right? Don't leave him our church. That's why we don't give bumper stickers. You know that. But we have the answers. Next, we got to really hurry. We must support people with the proper response. You see, three people saw this guy beat up and dead on the road. Okay? The first one was a priest. This guy's profession was God. He was a professional God guy. And he sees the guy and he's like, I'm going to cross the street so that I don't see him. There's a problem up there. Let me go around him. As I mentioned, I walk around the block sometimes. And there used to be a lady that lived over here. And when she talked to you, she talked to you, didn't talk to her. It would take like an hour. You could not get away. And so I talked to her every now and then. And I was really in a hurry, but I had to walk around the block real quick. And this was many years ago. And I saw her and I'm like, do I have time for a 30-minute conversation? She didn't need Jesus. She wasn't hurt. She was already saved. So I went around, I just crossed the street so she didn't see me. Then I walked well past her, and then I got back on the other side because I didn't have 30 minutes. But I sent her a postcard, so I felt better about it. But this guy was hurt. The priest goes, not my responsibility. And he walked around. Then here comes a Levite who was a Jew. And he was of the tribe of the Jews that did the special service for God. Now, he got a little bit better. He went up and looked at the guy. So, that's not supposed to be there. You know, you see someone and they're laying down there with their leg, and it's like, I don't think the bone is supposed to bend that way. And he looked at him, and then he crossed the street and left. But then a Samaritan came. A Samaritan was a half-breed. They were looked down upon by the Jews. But the Samaritan said, I got to help this guy. And he helped him. Look, how could you not? You know, God brings people our way, and we got to help them. Sometimes that takes time. Many, many years ago, I was making some visits. And I think I was in Paramount, and I was visiting somebody. They weren't home, but there was a relative there. And my car had this problem at that time that I had to kind of get it jump started in the morning. I think the battery needed to be replaced. It wasn't a Ford, but it was acting like a Ford. And so I could turn it off, but I had to turn it back on within 5 minutes, or else it wouldn't start. And I'd have to find someone to give me a push because it was a stick shift, or I had to get it jump. And so I'm out visiting, and all my visits were quick. I'd go up to the house. How you doing there? Everything good? All right, hold me, see you later. So I go to this house. Hey, is so-and-so there? No, she's not home, blah, 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 blah. Okay, hey, give her a thing. Tell her I came by. Hope to see her at church tomorrow. And I left, and the guy wanted to talk to me. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. I got to get out of here. And I'm thinking, 4 more minutes, my car's not going to work. And I'm sitting there, and then he says, you know, I've been going to church. I'm like, good for you. And I wanted to leave. He says, they've been talking about God. I'm like, that's what churches do. He goes, look, we've been studying this book. And God said, witness to it. And I'm like, I can't. My car won't start. And I'm like, that's a great book. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it's not a great book, Brother Bichardo. And God's like, witness to him. This isn't going to work. My car's not going to start. It'll be well. Finally, I'm like, fine. I'll find someone to push start me. I'm like, give me the book. He gave me his book, and I looked at it. And I said, wow, this is a really neat book. I said, hey, there's something missing in here. He goes, what? I said, this book doesn't talk at all about how you can get to heaven. He took the book out of my hand and he said, you know what? It doesn't. I said, but you know what? The Bible does. He goes, really? I said, I'm interested. I said, how would you like to know for sure when you die you go to heaven? He goes, I do. So I talked to him for about 10 or 15, 20 minutes and he got saved. He was wide open. And you know what I did? As soon as he was saved, we closed the door. I did not go away rejoicing. You know what my first thought was? That car is not going to start. And I looked around. It was like 9:30, 9:45 in the morning. There's nobody here to push me. And I'm going to be embarrassed to go knock on this guy's door and say, hey, I'm so glad you just got saved. Can you help me get this thing downhill? But thank the Lord, it started. And then I said, you know what? I got to go get a battery. This is ridiculous. But sometimes people do that to you. But you know what? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't the proper response when we can to help someone that's in genuine need? This guy wasn't trying to rip him off. This guy was hurt. And then the last thing is this. We must sacrifice for people to provide relief. Look what he did. And the Samaritan, and went to him. He took initiative. And he bound up his wounds. He helped him with his needs. His immediate need was he was bleeding. He had wounds. Let's get those things fixed. And then pouring in oil and wine. Not the kind of oil and wine you're thinking, okay? And set him on his own beast. He said, listen, let me get this guy to where he needs to go. By the way, maybe some of the friends you invite for friend day might need a ride. Oh, I'd come if I could get there. Hey. No, pick him up. And he brought him to an inn. You know what he did? He took him to the place where he could get help. Man, I'm having all these problems in my life. Let me share with you someone who can help you. His name's God. His son is Jesus Christ. And let me take you to a place where you can learn some things that will help you. And took care of him. He helped out. And he took out 2 pence, that was money, and gave unto the host and said, take care of him. He said, I'm going to have to make some financial investment in this individual. Not a lot, but he goes, I got to help. He's hurt, and he paid for it. And then he said, if you spend more, next time I'm back, I'll take care of it. It was ongoing. What's the point? We're going to have to sacrifice a little if we're going to help people. Now, we've went a little bit later than normal. Let me say this, and we're done. We ought to do this on a regular basis in every way. But spiritually speaking, we have a mandate to get the gospel. We do. You cannot get past that Bible verse as much as you try to explain it away. Be ready to give an answer. He said, I couldn't give an answer. If I saw a guy laying on the ground and he was dying and he said, please tell me, I'm afraid of dying. Could you tell him how he can know for sure he's going to heaven? It's our responsibility to be able to give an answer. Now let me say this. That's what our one by one is all about. Because I'll be honest, there was a time I didn't know. And I'm glad someone took some time to show me how I could very simply share the good news with somebody else. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm encouraging us to be here on Tuesday night. Look, I'm not going to be pushy, but I'm going to ask you to think about making a commitment to be here. Now, let me say this about the first night. The first night, we don't go out. We come in. Kind of, we get off to a start, we pass out some things, we go over some things we don't normally go over, and then we split up to our two classes, and then we're done. By the way, we have a nursery for the children. No, we don't. We have a nursery for the babies. We have a children's club for the children. If the teenagers need to come, we have something for them. Also, a little club that'll be going on. So there's something for everybody here. But this is geared more towards the adults. And we will teach you very clearly how to be able to talk to somebody. Okay? I'm encouraging you to be here the first night. I think if you come the first night, you'll see what it is, and you'll say, it's not what you think it is. See, you're thinking of somebody that tackled somebody, threw them on the ground, and said, you're going to listen to me. Or, you know, somebody, they were trying to close their door, and they put their foot in the door. Look, we're not salesmen. We're presenting the truth. And as John mentioned, as we're out inviting people to church, we're going to meet, or we just talk to people, we'll find someone like that man I found who did everything but say, how do I go to heaven? And I was being a knucklehead in a hurry because of a stupid car and didn't want to tell him. And God's like, snap out of it. This guy's doing everything but falling on the ground saying, what must I do to be saved? But there are people out there that are open. But are we going to be able to walk through that door? Let's stand for a minute. Let's keep our head.